see and hear is the outpouring of that Spirit. For David himself never went up to heaven, and yet these words are his. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for you. For this reason, the whole house of Israel can be certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Hearing this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, what must we do, brothers? You must repent, Peter answered, and every one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise that was made is for you and for your children and for all those who are far away, for all those whom the Lord our God will call to himself. Spoke to them for a long time, using many arguments, and he urged them, save yourselves from this perverse generation. They were convinced by his arguments, and they accepted what he said and were baptized. That very day, about 3,000 were added to their number. These remained faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to the brotherhood, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. The many miracles and signs worked through the apostles made a deep impression on everyone. The faithful all lived together and owned everything in common. They sold their goods and possessions and shared out the proceeds among themselves according to what each one needed. They went as a body to the temple every day, but met in their houses for the breaking of bread. They shared their food gladly and generously. They praised God and were looked up to by everyone. Day by day, the Lord added to their community those destined to be saved. Okay, could the SJ people stay here? The NF people go into the circulating library? The SP people go into the reserve library, and the MT folks go into the primary dining room. And I'll come get you, gather us together in a few moments.
You don't know what you are, but yes.
What you guys need to do is come on, gather together here. If you got too big a group, then make some smaller groups and share your insights about this text.
Was this to be a prayer insight or what does it mean?
No, this is more of a meditation kind of insight. You make it for you. Here, why don't you guys just close up this group? You guys open up this group since we've got more SJs than we know to do.
Come on,
and how you can make it real to yourselves. Don't worry about the logistics. They usually take care of themselves.
Well, the thing that impresses me with this particular text always is the fact that Peter comes out in the course of his first sermon, which is really a broad one.
They're the same thing.
Converting 3,000 souls.
No, I know.
Come on, that is
I saw, but I don't see any more than anybody else. So, I thought one thing that was, as I read it, I said two, three times, I thought one thing that spirit person.
Was known in disciples, but the times have been very weak.
When God chose to.
Especially recently, just before this.
Because fire is cleansing.
Power in and out.
That's just what the Holy Spirit does for it, goes into our heart, cleanses our own, you know.
The spirit of God.
Weaknesses, yeah.
Laws of the creatures, I think, but in this particular case, particularly true.
Really, that was there.
Holy Spirit, word of surely have come, right? A rough fish in the lake, yeah.
God chose the time to give the Holy Spirit.
Asking Peter, what he asked him at that section. I believe this, but are you going to establish your kingdom now, you know, in order for the Jews on that heat? He's still holding back, you know.
Receive this Holy Spirit, and hear Peter.
This is a change.
And spread the gospel. It's really almost the beginning of spreading the gospel.
I was thinking, if I had been there.
Formation of the church.
I would have wondered, is this the Lord?
Then, of course, God chose to have each one, we don't know how.
Is this me too?
Spoke languages, because
they were joyful.
Somehow these people heard this message, each in his spirit fell upon. So that
they were rejoicing, they were acting funny, I suppose.
And of course, the fact that they could speak in a language that was unknown to them.
Or where it came from.
You know, it would be like if all of a sudden you could speak German or Italian.
And he went back.
Or Japanese or something, and knowing full well that you had no prior knowledge of this, this is going to be a very dramatic example of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in that climate.
Those people that came from different areas, you should be sharing here, these Galileans, were speaking their language.
Well, you wonder how big a group there was, for example.
To the characters of the people that were there.
Let's say you had a half a dozen men from Greek.
So I did the.
Maybe they were all together. Was the person closest to him able to, to them, speaking in Greek?
Probably.
Your head's on fire, so is yours.
In other words, you can see.
I can't understand you, you're talking.
Small groups.
I can't understand you either.
And.
Listen to those guys, what's wrong with them?
How did it ever get to be the point where one person could talk to all?
Listen to me, I'm Peter, I want to tell you this. It's early.
That'd be a foolish question.
Like there were several Galileans, and I think, well.
Well, I think as Peter gave his sermon, that probably, the way I would picture it is that the other disciples were translating them.
This is important.
To these various segments.
Yeah, that's probably the way.
You know, with their newfound ability to speak in.
Well, wasn't it wonderful, 3,000?
I never thought of that before, but that's.
Too bad they didn't listen to Jesus when he was here on earth. Well, tomorrow's another day, and I need some rest.
Well, it must have occurred, but the.
It's a nice thought, but why didn't they listen to Jesus when he was here?
Chaotic.
Sometimes you don't listen to something terribly different than this place.
Try to find an interpreter for everybody.
I think that tells the story quite well.
Well, you know, I'm probably, when I guess this tomorrow, S.J.
I think I got a lot more on it than I did.
Put ourselves back in that position, and our offices take that situation and bring today. I can see it easier for me to go back and assume I'm there than bringing that here. To bring that here today, and I would call her.
He's telling these people, but it has happened. Couldn't have done this.
It has happened in many, many areas, but this same thing.
It appears as though man had his way to destroy Christ.
Go ahead.
Because I find it isn't quite wrong to try to picture myself.
And they could never crucify Christ.
I mean, how I would react.
God had not willed it.
But
it was
the other end of it,
so he's saying to these people, you know.
This particular scripture in forms of my own prayer, it's much easier for me to bring what happened there to today and ask for the guidance.
And God had planned, this was his way of answering these people the way he worked.
In a prayer form, I
behind the wheel.
Yeah, transpose myself back very often.
No, but you just say, Lord, is it for me?
Just like we're not behind the wheel.
It's always, right, it gets to be more of a personal thing. That's for me when I read this, it gets to be personal.
Yeah, I found, just like you said, I can go back and put myself back there and say, if I was a bystander and I'm hurt this, how would I have reacted? A lot of times, instead of running late, I might have reacted against Jesus too and all, you know, all of the false prophets coming and, it's hard to say, we've got the advantage of not having the Bible and everything that they didn't have. But you say on prayer, I don't see how I could pray with that. I could take that situation and ask that it might come here. Yeah, that's what you said, and I find that easier, right?
That's what's so confusing to me.
Well, it's quite likely.
It's just that this was God's plan of salvation to man.
But if I'd been in the crowd, I figured they were drunk.
I'm afraid the same thing.
But I understand what my reaction might be.
That they were drunk.
Jesus had to be drunk. Well, it's happened in some congregations with some people.
And it was evidence, well, that was evidently true with a good degree of the multitude that was there. But it wasn't long after that that those same people would repent and be baptized, because Peter's sermon was pretty much...
Well, that's true. I'm talking about
you or...
Or it has happened in recent years, the same thing as the people think they're funny. They think something, you know, they couldn't even think they were talking.
Well, then the difference of speaking in a foreign tongue, like this tells us, and speaking in tongues, as the Pentecostal church believes, is I don't understand that, I guess, because I haven't experienced it.
Well, I've experienced it in church, it's humble,
but evidently it is a real occurrence.
The people there, and some of each of us,
not a foreign church.
My wife was asked,
well, there was a big, there was a, one of the big, well, it was the feast. I think it was a feast of Tabernacles, but I don't know that for sure. It was one of their feasts, their festival time. And that's why there were so many people at Jerusalem at the time, because they had all the feasts. And these were Jews that were in other countries, but they... Many of them who were very devout would come up to Jerusalem for the feast, because they had to, that was the,
there
they
must
had
be
to,
something to it.
They were Jews, but they came Catholic.
They had to celebrate the feast. They had to celebrate only in Jews.
They get up in a group, dance around, they sing songs, you know.
Does someone interpret them for the rest of the congregation? See, Paul is pretty specific in Corinthians that if you speak in tongues, somebody should interpret them.
They're not so at any of these meetings.
It was a feast of their
tongues. Speak in tongues, and no further. Someone has to interpret or else.
Yeah, because that is very specific.
That's the way it is. It's order. There has to be order.
Now this, though, if I understand it, this was not the speaking in tongues that you talk about the Church of God, but this was just translating.
This was speaking in foreign languages, which was different.
It gets to be the same thing. So, it could be languages that nobody knows, but it can be a language because there have been people that, even in Chinese or whatever it is, they have heard this speaking in tongues. And they understood it, and because it was in their language. That doesn't always happen, but it does happen.
She doesn't hear. She hears. What do you think? What were some of the reactions you had?
I didn't.
Well, but it's a mysterious thing. I copied down to read.
That's supposed to be this.
And if I'd been there, I suppose I'd said, Lord,
it expressed.
Is this real?
Are they acting so funny? Is this for me? But I might have said, if it is, I want it.
She said to me.
I've thought, what would I have done? I believe the speaking in tongues, the Galileans, the unpolished stock, the stock, supposed to be somewhat an uneducated group. These people that come back from Greece, they thought they were better than them, but that's it. At least Jews, the way you call them, they thought they were better than the Jews of the state of Rome.
Yes, and she does.
And the town, Mike showed me that something.
Unnatural.
Yeah, unnatural was happening.
Well, I feel it makes a difference to where you were in the society. If you were, let's say you were part of the
That was a really fine a speech.
Whatever. Pharisees.
And you happen to be there. So. I believe you do want to be.
They can give us the ability to do it.
Yeah. And they were quick, because that, a lot of that comes out of the fact that at that point, the people in power would be really frightened.
Yeah, sure. They would feel insecure.
It's
talk the right grammar or the abilities to.
It's
people that, let's say, that are relative to the total society we're about as we are. We'd probably walk away from
your colleague person.
The appeal would perhaps be to the poor and to those who felt, for whatever reason, felt down.
But you know, that's still the truth today. Missionaries go out into the undeveloped countries. The appeal of Christianity is really first to the poor. Those that have nothing.
Moses said, well, I can't talk, I can't do this.
Our friend from India said that, you know, that's most of the Christians in India, a very small amount, 3%, are from the untouchable.
Biblical scholars suggest that maybe he's not.
I suppose with my temperament, though, I would have been kind of scared. And yet I would see the joy. I would see the miraculous thing. I would see the excitement. I don't think I'd necessarily walk away, but I might. He would go toward it timidly.
Stick around and listen to Peter anyway. See what he had to say.
Maybe I would be convinced of it. I think I would
say like Peter had.
I'd like to think that I would.
I would like to think I would, but
anything gets to be easier.
But according to your own feelings, your own spirit, would you? I think myself with strange things, how you're scared, but looks good.
And yet you're attracted.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. If I,
we should all be together.
I mean, I think it's good. Experienced Christianity for many years, I assume, you know. And if I was there and were looking for something, but you say if I had a place and I thought I had a Christian and I was a bishop or I had a pretty good position in a hierarchy of Pharisees and all that.
You're awfully frightened.
This insecurity and anything that threatened you can really be to the church all the way down, you know.
And how anxious they were to be baptized when they...
Well, I stepped into this current charismatic.
You kind of put yourself in that. You probably feel the same way, do you?
But with fear and trembling, imagine the reaction today if we have 3,000 people that were baptized at one
time.
And
that continued to stay in the faith.
Yes.
But it was marvelous. There was a pull. There was a definite pull. Think of it. With just one sermon, 3,000 came in. The Holy Spirit has power.
I agree with that. Why would we be
here? Peter himself could never have done that. We've seen in the recent history here that Peter was weak, he's denied Christ.
The ordinary. We don't believe
so there has to be power there.
Probably wouldn't.
Right up to the last, they were couldn't believe that things were going.
An imposter.
Think about the
difference. But you can't have the faith, though.
new evangelists and different things from here to there. How do we
the
know?
Jews walked away.
It's real easy to criticize them all.
And yet they had all the history and they had all the background.
We have listening to
them. They had the knowledge.
And they had the knowledge.
The promises. They did have that.
At this age.
And went out and over a relatively short period of judgment, right? Total time of history, it spread remarkably. You might say like wildfire.
In the non-Jewish community.
Sometimes they're just more simple folks like that. And of course, the Jews are ready.
Well, the original.
Well, of course, some Jews
in the beginning, they haven't become. Look at the shepherds; they never questioned about Christ.
They weren't really successful in converting their own.
No, they weren't.
As they were in converting the
Jews. We probably would have analyzed it and could have been told.
I don't know what the significance of that is, except that I guess you might say the Jewish people walked away from the very thing that they were noted for. A history of a close association with God over the years.
Awaiting the Messiah.
Awaiting the Messiah.
Yeah.
And,
but they are still waiting for him. Still waiting.
That's the hardest thing for me to believe.
I know I have.
It's interesting to believe that they're still waiting for him because according to the Messiah has to be direct descendant of David. Today, after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, proving direct descendants of David would be impossible. So if somebody came along today, how would they prove direct descendants of David? Would be impossible.
They don't believe in all these
waiting for the impossible. They should realize
just a small group like the
rabbis.
Waiting for and that kind of thing.
And somebody in the group we have. I asked him about it, and he said, so he told about Jewish faith.
Yes, different kinds.
I have a friend who's a conservative Jew, and she believes in living the best life she can here on earth. She does not
Pentecostal or that type, but the very, others, very evangelical, and open, was growing, but I asked him. And he said, we believe the Bible talks about Jesus, we believe he lived. We just believe he was a good man, but as far as we believe about him, we don't
those think that he was a savior. One group, and I can't think which it is, they were
black.
Believe
that he died on the cross, that somebody killed him.
Black.
But just believe he was a good man.
Another group, where's that sculpture?
So that's where it stopped,
and so
you know.
They didn't have to.
That night, and we know you got up, and I mean, he was a good friend and all, but he said, we just don't believe that he's what we're looking for.
But someday a remnant of them is we have surprisingly many Christians in the United States. There are two congregations out in St. Louis.
Why should it make it?
It was prophesied in the Old Testament.
And they are, they really were.
Because
Major David.
He was a Lydian. We get right on the street. Meet Jews.
Well, are we all coming together?
Not
anyway.
I guess our numbers, the proportion of SJs to the rest of the world kind of proved what the book said, huh? You were more than 50% Okay, now what we've done in small groups is share our insights into this text. And what I'd like us to do now for about the next 10 or 15 minutes is to share what we
what we talked about in our small groups, and see how many different perspectives and how many different ways of understanding we can bring to this text. So, anybody wants to start? Ken?
I will. I think it was great to listen to the experiences of everybody as they related to this text. I think one thing that really sticks to our type is bringing in relevant experience and applying it to what we were discovering about this text or what this text said to us. And I think there's a tendency, thinking about the reading I've done about the different fire bricks types, I think there's a tendency to kind of talk in circles and just be really excited. And I think we did that quite a bit. So, you know.
Well, that's kind of a commentary on the process that we were going through. I think I'd rather have us talk more about the text than about what we experienced as part of our groups.
Our small group of SJs.
Don't talk to me. Talk to
us. We talked quite a bit about how we would have felt personally in the at Pentecost, and it seemed to be we didn't really have a consensus, but some of us thought that maybe we would have been with the group that would have thought they were drunk, but it was seemed to be the consensus of the group that that probably after if we had not walked away and stayed to listen to Peter's sermon, that we would have believed.
When I read this up there in my room, I thought of a prayer that I might have prayed then. Like, oh God, is this really of you? Is this for me too? If it is, fill me with the joy. Also, I want your Holy Spirit to fall on me too. Or I might have said, oh God, this can't be of you. They act so funny. It makes me scared, Lord. Please show me the truth.
We consider you to spoke.
No, we can't.
No.
Everybody gets to speak up. Sir, please.
Well, in our group, if we're still with the same initials, and that's we were excited because of the number of people that heard Peter's words, and as the Holy Spirit worked through Peter, and he was able to get 3,000 people all in one unit, and to hold them. They acted as a support for one another, that it just wasn't a one-time thing. And this excited all of us as to how the Holy Spirit can work within each one of us if we allow it to.
Well, Karen and I are the NTs of the group, and we related to Peter completely. We felt that if we had been there, that probably seeing this group that everybody thought was drunk, that if we knew these people real well, we would have stood up as Peter did to defend them and say that they were not. And we felt that probably our opinion would have been held some credibility. Neither one of us got hung up on the 3,000 people because we don't get hung up on numbers. What else, Karen?
Well, Peter was neat in that he really, you know, they came to him and you know, he told them, he quoted the authorities that they knew. You know, David was who they grew up hearing and knowing.
And sounds like Peter was an NT too.
Well, we wondered if we could get Peter any color. And so he, you know, he said these things, and the people came to him then for the answer. And he was able to say, okay, repent and be baptized. But then it seems like that he was able to kind of step back and let them form their own communities and not be as controlling as I know I tend to be. And that was really, and it was, it's so neat to hear what Mr. Nelson Lee said about what would I have done, because that's a way that I wouldn't have brought to that scripture at all.
Well, Charlotte and I were the only two SPs, and I think we agreed that probably more this week, after we've heard so much about creativity, we were thinking of the marvelous creativity of God in choosing this unusual, this unique way of having the Holy Spirit come, and realizing that we today can have that power if we are willing to accept it, that if God wants us to do something and we think we can't, that we can have His power. But Charlotte has, we started, we didn't finish developing a little prayer, and she, I think, has that. I'll let her talk from now on.
Well, we started at the beginning, more or less, where we accepted what happened. I mean, we didn't question the drunkenness or anything else. We just accepted what happened. And so we were, first thing we did was to thank God for sending His Spirit and the miracle of understanding. And then we had a supplication to help us to realize we can find strength in the Holy Spirit to do His will, even if we don't think we have any strength of our own. And then we went back to praise to God for His greatness and for His magnificence, and to thank Him for His Son, Jesus Christ, and the resurrection, the meaning of the resurrection, as far as we got.
And those were the kinds of things, the ideas that you talked about, which were in our group, true to the NF kind of sensibility. We had a lot to say about words, and we were I think we were very interested in the what actually happened on that day, and how Peter was able to speak up and to speak out the words that he was able to speak in order to convert the 3,000 people who were there. And we thought that we have sometimes the same experiences in which we speak words that we don't really know where they came from, and that those words often help people in need, and we don't know where we got them or why we decided to speak those words to the people who really did need to hear them. But we talked about how we are too afraid to acknowledge that we can speak words that we don't always know where they came from, and that our fear of that capacity really, really blocks sometimes saying the things that the Spirit would have said to people.
One other thing our group discussed was that if all these people did indeed hear Peter, then the disciples must have been acting as interpreters with their newfound languages.
Anybody else talk about the languages? This phenomenon. What did you have to? Okay, now your thought was that the disciples were acting as interpreters for Peter, for all of those folks to hear the different languages. Okay, how would you say that thought reflects the SJ character of your group?
Organization.
Okay. Peter was speaking, and for all the people to hear, there had to be some kind of
some kind of organization, some kind of translation society.
We wanted to see how it worked.
Okay, you wanted to see how all of this actually worked. Now, the NF group was interested in the fact of it and talked about how the words came through inspiration and without Peter's, you know, really taking Peter over. What did the NTs think about that?
We were just saying we didn't.
You didn't think about that at all? You didn't want to go analyzing that? Okay. Did the SPs mention that
at all? Yeah, we mentioned it, and we didn't come to any conclusion.
Of course, we were not supposed to.
We had to know what we asked to. When they spoke, if they spoke in Galilean and the other people heard it in that language, or if they actually spoke the words of the other language. I mean, we mentioned that, but we didn't come to a conclusion as to
which. You just wondered. You just wondered. It wasn't important. You were still in your present moment. You need to do some more searching. And however it worked, it worked. And that was important.
The Bible doesn't say how it happened.
Well, what did the other SJ group talk about in that feature of the text? There were two groups in this room. What did the other group find? Did you mention that?
That was kind of a little story that we kind of agreed with Ella on their story, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. What was
that? Particularly about the language, though.
Say it anyway.
Well, I thought we were to put ourselves in the characters in place. So I did the apostles and the crowd and Peter. What's that noise? I'm frightened. Your head's on fire, so yours. I can't understand you. You're talking gibberish. I can't understand you either. Listen to those guys. What's wrong with them? I can't understand them. Hush, I want to listen. Listen to me. I'm Peter, and I want to tell you this. It's early. These men aren't drunk. Be quiet and listen. I want to explain. Remember what Joel the prophet said. Well, that's what's happening now. Please listen. I want to tell you more about Jesus whom you crucified. This is important. Repent, be baptized. You also shall receive this precious gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm beat, but wasn't it wonderful? 3,000 people baptized. Too bad they didn't listen to Jesus when he was here on earth. Well, tomorrow's another day and I need some rest, but I can hardly wait.
You really did enter into that though.
I think I got a lot more out of the text by doing that than I would by just reading it.
Is that something that you do sometimes?
No, that was what I thought the assignment was. Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of new and neat.
That's neat. But I'm going to continue doing
it. In our NF group, I was talking about what did we understand by this being able to hear in the languages that were native to the people. And I suggested something that I hadn't thought about before, but is kind of a metaphor, that maybe what it means, or also what it means, is that when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, we answer people's needs. And that's another way of saying that they understood the words in their own languages. That whatever need the people have would be answered by the intuitive, the person who has the courage to accept the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit can speak through that person. Did any group focus on the Christian community, the last part of the text? Say anything about that?
Yes, you did.
Just a little bit.
Well, what was it?
we didn't really talk about the very last one. We talked about the wonder of the fact that this event was so planned that it happened in such a way that these people were all here for a feast.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't ordinarily be all these people in Jerusalem, but that they
could,
were there.
Couldn't have happened better if an SJ had organized
right.
it.
Right. And that God timed it this way, that this Holy Spirit was to be given when the town was full of Jews from all countries, because these two people went back to their towns and spread this gospel, which they had accepted. And that was, you know, a wonderful thing, because it was almost like the beginning of the church.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that it wasn't just a temporary thing, that they were permanently...
Right. And in our group, we talked too about how we tend to think of Pentecost as just a single event. But the fact that the community stayed together and worked together and did the four things that kept them close as a community indicates that there's an ongoing bond which was created as a result of the Holy Spirit's action.
I don't know about this, I'm just asking you, isn't Pentecost, the event of Pentecost, rather considered as the time of the church, the beginning of the church?
I would think so. If somebody knows better than I would think so.
Seems like I've heard that, you know, somewhere.
Well, we just finished the book of Acts in the Bible study, and this was the main point brought up, that it was the beginning.
Yeah,
Peter started the first church.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what we've been doing in the last couple of minutes is coming at this event from each of our particular perspectives and trying to make it as real as possible to us. And we certainly have had instances in which some groups thought of things that other people didn't even mention. And sometimes the insights were parallel, and sometimes they were very individual in particular. The next step in the form of prayer is the prayer itself, the response. So if anyone would like to to say something aloud in the form of the prayer as a result of your reading, our reading this text, let's take a few minutes to do that.
All loving God, you give to each of us such unique gifts and open our eyes to ways that we can use them and recognize our own. Help us to be like Peter in our leadership, and help us to bring the word to people that need to hear it, and help us also to give the answers and then allow people to struggle with their own questions according to their own gifts.
Holy Spirit, Spirit of boldness and truth, help me not to be afraid to say the things that other people may need to hear, even though they may frighten me to try to realize that I can speak in your words. Let your words flow through me, and let me not block those by my fear.
Father in heaven, I just thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, which you gave at Pentecost, but you've given it to us too. And so, God, we just want to be filled with your Spirit, that we might be bold and speak forth the word that you would have us speak at the time you want us to speak it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did not leave us alone after you left this world, but that you gave us a part of yourself, because the Holy Spirit is Christ in us. And so you gave us of your power to take with us through our lifetime and for the whole universe to have access to, in order to carry out your will and to bring the message of Christ to others.
Holy Spirit of God, enter our hearts today as you did the disciples at Pentecost and to those who repented and were baptized that day. Give us the will and the ability to spread your word to those who have.
God, thank you for speaking to each of us the word that you want us to hear. Help us to hold to that word, to grow deep into it, and to give it as you move us to give it for the rest of our lives, could we end our time together by singing a hymn?
What?
By singing a hymn of praise in the doxology, which I always forget how it starts.
Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. Shall we do that? And let's stand up and thank God for one another and for the blessings that He's given us in this time together, and for courage, for joy, for peace, for patience, for delight in one another.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all.